Colts beat the Texans. It's starter sit for the NFC home games. And an interesting bonanza experiment all happening right now on the Fantasy Football Today podcast presented by Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code FUN at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg with you for the Friday podcast here from CBS Sports. And Jamie, the Colts, 27-20 winners over the Houston Texans.
Yes.
Andre Johnson is back, baby. The revenge game. He's here. He's clear. Are you going to add him on every single one of your fantasy football teams?
No.
Why not?
Because he had one good game. And he did it without Andrew Luck. He did it on a short week. He did it against a team that clearly he knows a little bit about. And I don't buy into him keeping this up.
So it is amazing.
Great game for him.
It's amazing how many questions I got on Twitter about Andre Johnson and Jalen Strong. We'll talk about Strong in a second. I don't think there's much to say, but I found it very interesting that Andre Johnson, 7 targets, 6 catches, 77 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. One of the touchdowns, the first one, just looked like totally blown coverage, and he just dominated off of play action in the red zone. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Dante Moncrief, who people since week one were writing, they thought that he was a good fantasy wide receiver. 3 targets, 1 catch, 3 yards. Obviously no touchdowns,
right.
A total downer. But for the first 4 weeks of the season, Dante Moncrief had been getting good numbers, and Andre Johnson was the dud.
Mm-hmm.
And in this game, it was Andre Johnson who stepped up and had the big game,
yep.
And Dante Moncrief was the dud. I would expect Dante Moncrief to go back to being the number two receiver that we all know, and Andre Johnson to kind of go back to what he was.
This was one of the issues we talked about in the preseason in relation to T.Y. Hilton is there are a lot of mouths to feed in this offense because bringing in Andre Johnson, we completely discounted Dante Moncrief. So anybody that's listened to us from the summer, it was Hilton, it was Andre, it was Dorsett being mm-hmm. drafted as a first-round pick.
We thought Moncrief was kind of on the outs after Dorsett was
right.
picked.
Right, but I'm not bringing that up for a reason, but it was the two tight ends, and now they had, you know, some semblance of a running game. I think what's going to end up happening is you're going to get games like this for all of these guys. Hilton hasn't lived up to expectations. He got saved last night by a 43-yard catch at the end of the game.
Yep.
Moncrief, from what I read, played 2 more snaps than Andre Johnson, so it was 42-40.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he was off the field. And
just opportunities.
And what happened to Kobe Fleener last night? Dwayne Allen came back. They needed him to block. And Fleener's targets went in the tank, along with his production. Both guys, actually, I think, got outproduced by Jack Boyle. So,
no, they didn't. They totaled 30 yards.
No, I'm saying from a snap count and,
oh,
target, and targets.
I see.
They used him to block as well. So they ran, you know, several 2 tight end sets. So it's just one of those situations where this is going to happen. And great for Andre Johnson. I think if he's available on waivers on Tuesday night, and you don't like your receiving core, drop somebody and pick them up. It's that simple. You know, if you've been carrying somebody, if you want to make the switch, let's just say Willie Snead has a bad game, Kamar Aiken has a bad game, Reuben Randall has a bad game, and you want to go back to Andre Johnson, by all means do so, because maybe this is the sign of things to come. And I think he will be relevant.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't want to make it sound like he's not going to have good games along the way, but
I think we knew that he would have some good games.
Yeah, he wasn't completely dead.
I'd like to see a little more consistency because
that's
he was basically flatlined.
Right. No, that's the thing.
For the first
that's
four
the
weeks,
thing.
And now all of a sudden, here's this huge spike, and I don't know if I can count on that. I'm sure that there will be somebody from Sunday's game
sure.
and maybe Monday's game that we'd rather pick up off waivers than Andre Johnson. Frank Gore delivered, had almost 100 yards and a touchdown. The Colts are still just 2 yards shy of having that first 100-yard rusher since, I don't know, since the Reagan administration.
2 years, I think.
Yeah, whatever it is. Arian Foster, kind of a weird game for him. He left because of the hit that he took.
Mm-hmm.
They tested him for a concussion, mm-hmm. had a terrible first half. Everybody who had Arian Foster was cursing their bad luck, and then he came back in the second half and really made a difference catching passes, 10 targets, 9 catches, and 77 yards. But the rushing average is bad. I'm not that worried about Arian Foster. I still think in time he's going to be fine, and that if you've got him, you still consider him a number one fantasy running back. I'm encouraged by the fact that he had 19 carries in the game. Earlier in the game, it was Alfred Blue getting a lot of work, and Arian's kind of mixing and matching. By the second half, that was old news. DeAndre Hopkins is a stud. Jalen Strong, two targets, two catches, 53 yards, two touchdowns. One was on a Hail Mary.
Yep.
Go back and watch it because it's fun to watch. But the other one was just blown coverage, totally blown coverage by the Indianapolis Colts. So I don't see Jalen Strong as somebody to really add. And I think that's really about it from the game, unless you have anything you'd like to add.
No.
Besides the Texans' defense being absolutely terrible, by the way.
Yeah, their defense was terrible. Brian Hoyer looked good for 90% of that game when he came in.
Bye week quarterback down the line?
I think so, because their defense is not good. They're going to be chasing points, I think, most weeks. And he, look, you never know what's going to happen, because if he gets off to a bad start, he could get yanked.
Exactly.
For Mallett. So that's what would be the risk. It's funny because, so we kind of talked about this a little bit yesterday with the trade offer that I made to Adam. I did that in our two quarterback league because I needed a quarterback because I had Andrew Luck. And my choices were the Texans guys, which I would have picked up Mallett because he was a starter, or Hasselbeck. Now, I made a trade to get Jameis Winston, so I kind of avoided the whole mess. But I would have gone with Mallett, and I would have been stuck.
And you would have been, yeah. Right. That was brutal how he got pulled from the game. Hopefully what Houston does is they come out of this mini bye that they have from playing on Thursday, and they say, okay, Brian Hoyer's our guy, and we're sticking with him. We'll see if that happens. Now, Jamie, if a bonanza isn't heard from Adam Azer's lips, does it still take effect?
He didn't give a bonanza?
He gave a bonanza, but he's not going to say it because he's not on today's podcast. He's busy doing something, you know,
he's
grooming
moving.
His cat or whatever he's doing. He's moving. Our little man is moving with his lovely lady in New York. All right, so.
Do they put Zoe in one of those little crates?
Oh, no. There's no chance. They treat Zoe like a queen.
So they carry Zoe?
They carry Zoe.
Okay, on a pillow?
I don't know. Do you think the au pair is carrying the pillow?
That's a good point.
Yeah. Anyway, somebody wrote bonanza for Pittsburgh at San Diego. I agree that it's going to be a high-scoring game, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Now, there's a lot of players in that game that I like for FanDuel this week. Jamie, I know you like a lot of players from that game for FanDuel, too. And if you want to win some money playing fantasy football, you can. Try FanDuel.com, the leader in one-week fantasy football. They are expecting to pay out $2 billion this year. So if you want some of that, go to FanDuel and start playing right now. Contests start at just a dollar. And you can compete against us at FanDuel.com/CBSPod. That's FanDuel.com/CBSPod. So what it is, it's a $10 entry. You play in a 50-50 tournament, and you take on Jamie, you take on me, you take on Adam. Top 45%, double their money. So if you beat us, you double your money. $10 becomes $20, and you automatically qualify for this awesome contest we've got going in week 11. It's a free roll, $100,000 in free prizes up for grabs. You can get a piece of it. All you got to do is take down the three of us, and typically we finish, I don't know, right around 300, 400. So if you have a really good lineup, you're set, and you can get into that week 11 contest. Sign up now. Use our offer code. It's CBSPOD, CBSPOD, and FanDuel will match your first deposit up to $200, and that will get earned as you play. The offer code is CBSPOD. Injuries, news, and notes. Jason LaCanfora was on Thursday Night Live and said that Dez Bryant seems like it's realistic that he'll be back in week 7.
That'd be awesome.
It would be awesome, but it would almost be unprecedented.
No
way. Because, well, when's the last time a player came back from this type of injury so soon?
Dante Stallworth. Somebody said that to me, that he was tweeting out pictures of his when he had the surgery, and I guess was mentioning how quickly he was
able to come
back.
How did he do when he came back?
Well, I mean, look what you're talking about, though. You're talking about a mediocre player.
But I'm willing to look past that just to see if he came back.
I don't know. I don't even know if that's accurate. So I don't want to, you know, be held accountable. So I'm just telling you, somebody said something to me in an email about Dante Stallworth, and, you know, that he was very encouraged by what it was. The thing about when it happened to Julio Jones, if I recall, it was in the middle of the season. He had to have the surgery, and they shut him down because the team was terrible.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant tried to come back. These are the two guys that we keep hearing about and talking about. Kevin Durant tried to come back. Dez Bryant is not jumping up and down, up and down, up and down every 5 seconds unless he's upset about not getting the ball. So I think if he can manage the pain in terms of how he runs and cuts, then he should be okay. Look, They just invested a boatload of money in him. They are not running him back out there.
They're also desperate for a Super Bowl run.
Well, desperate for a Super Bowl run, and also understanding the nature of what their franchise is, that's going to play into it. But bottom line is, if this guy's back on the field, you're going to be encouraged by it. And so I don't want to harp on we're not doctors, but we went through this with Arian Foster. Oh, my God, get rid of him. He's terrible.
And then the surgery wasn't as bad as
right.
We thought.
We don't know what these guys can recover
from. Well, I think that's why a lot of people held on to Dez Bryant, and that's why we never said cut Dez Bryant. You could have traded Dez Bryant and gotten something for him, or you could have waited. There was one league where I took him with a first-round pick. I didn't cut him. I'm sitting on him, and I'm waiting for him to come back, and I hope that he's that same guy. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if we can really count on that, but we'll wait and see. So far, Arian Foster has come back. Has he been the same guy? Statistically, yes, I guess. He's going to
well,
be that
last night's the only game you could
points.
Judge, and he was great, statistically.
2.2 yards per carry, notwithstanding. Anthony Dixon, the last man standing in that Buffalo run offense, and he's got a calf injury. Is Dan Boom Heron somebody that you're looking at picking up this week?
I did in our 2016 league, and that's the extent.
It's got to be a super deep league.
Yeah.
Unless he's inactive
Who?
For whatever reason.
Dixon?
Booby Dixon. If he's inactive,
Sunday. Well, put it this way. If he's inactive, they're going to sign another running back between now and Sunday.
Well, but isn't Heron the running back that they signed?
They can't go with just two guys.
Yeah, that's true, especially when it's Sierra Wood and Dan Heron.
Right.
Charles Clay has a calf injury, but it looks like he's going to play through that. Victor Cruz hoping to be back next week. That's the other side of this injury deal where you're waiting and waiting and waiting, and then by the point you get to, it's just too long. And Andre Ellington is expected to play. Let's play Do You Expect with these names, Jamie. Marshawn Lynch. Do you expect him to play against Cincinnati?
No.
Jason Lockenfora said that even if he did play against Cincinnati in Week 5, that he would expect him to be limited. Alshon Jeffrey's been limited in practice again. Do you think he's going to play against Kansas City?
I don't know, and I don't know if anybody knows. So you're just going to have to kind of wait it out.
Right. If he's active.
Must-start guy.
He's a must-start based on the matchup. Randall Cobb.
Yes.
Devontae Adams, not practicing.
No, but stash him. Adam Azer. Spent $28 on him in our podcast league. I think he overspent for him personally, but I think it's a good move that if anybody's cutting him, pick him up because he is going to be a significant factor for the Packers down the stretch.
But I wouldn't trade anything big for him. If he's just there on the waiver wire, if you can buy real low, sure.
Yep.
I hope you're right about that. Joique Bell, the opposite of a buy low.
No.
Tevin Coleman, been limited in practice, but it looks like he's going to play.
Yes.
Vernon Davis against the Giants.
No.
Crockett Gilmore hasn't practiced yet this week, didn't play last week. They've got the Browns.
Yeah, doesn't sound like it.
If he practices Friday, I think there's a chance that he'll go. Leonard Hankerson taking on his former team in Washington.
Yep.
DeSean Jackson taking on Atlanta.
Nope.
Jeremy Hill, banged up, but I think he's going to go against Seattle. Not that you would feel good starting him in that matchup. This next segment is called Adam is Nervous About. Adam sent us the name of one player that he's nervous about. Let's do name that player.
Okay.
He is a rookie running back from the University of Georgia who had a torn ACL and has recovered from it, and his mustached head coach was very patient about putting him on the field. Name that player.
Robert Edwards.
Wrong. Todd Gurley. It was Todd Gurley. Hopefully everybody listening got that one. All right, this is why Adam is nervous about Todd Gurley. The Rams play at Green Bay. Only two running backs in Green Bay's last 10 regular season home games have rushed for more than 60 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Does that worry you? Does that make you want to sit Todd Gurley?
No. I think he will not get more than 60 or 65 yards either. But I do think he'll score a touchdown.
I think he's got a real good chance of scoring a touchdown, and that's really what matters here, is that he's going to have that opportunity to find the end zone. And I think he's going to get a lot of work, which is what typically helps running backs manage double digits in fantasy points.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do three we like, three we don't like. I'll go first with Chris Johnson. Look, I think he's the best running back in Arizona right now. He's not the one coming back from an injury. He's not the one who is slapped with the rookie label and therefore doesn't get treated like he probably should. David Johnson is making great plays, but they're not giving him a ton of playing time. And well, let's put it this way. They gave him some playing time last week, almost as much as Chris Johnson. But with Andre Ellington coming back, the theory is that David Johnson will get pushed to the side.
Ellington will come
in. Right. And then Chris Johnson ends up leading the way. And it's against Detroit. They lost another one of their defensive linemen. I would take a chance with Chris Johnson, especially this week when it feels like there's a lot of running backs that just aren't that great.
Yeah. I have Chris Johnson and Andre Ellington in one league together. It's the only league where I have both of them. It's an 18-team league, and I'm going to stick with Chris Johnson over Ellington. The bigger question is, what do you do with Ellington? Because when he's played, it's going back to last year,
right?
He's been their guy.
Absolutely.
And you just said it, that the touches were somewhat equal for Chris Johnson and David Johnson.
Right, and so theoretically.
Does Andre Ellington step into that role of David Johnson and become a viable option? He's going to be one of these guys that either people are going to start and be really disappointed in, or you're going to completely avoid, and he's going to have a David Johnson type game where take away the mistakes, but finds the end zone on a catch, 60, 70, 80 total yards, ends up better than, you know, Melvin Gordon maybe, or some of the guys that we actually like to certain degrees, Andre Williams, Anthony Dixon, like I know you like Rashad Jennings.
Yeah.
Those kind of guys, you know, the ones that aren't slam dunk options, but, you know, in our rankings are going to be probably higher than where Ellington is. So I think you just got to weigh what your lineup is. Like, I'm in one league where I have Ellington coming back from injury. We have an IR spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up Anthony Dixon. I have Latavius Murray, and I have Ellington. Ellington's the third guy in that group.
Behind the other two. Mm-hmm. Understood. All right. Another guy I like this week is Pierre Garçon. I like him especially if DeSean Jackson does not play. But if DeSean plays, I'll still take a chance on Garçon.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can deliver wide receiver two numbers against Atlanta. It's a combination of the Falcons just allowing numbers to wide receivers. And then playing from behind, I expect that to happen with Washington. Garçon's been getting a bunch of targets, a bunch of catches, maybe a little bit touchdown dependent. Last week was certainly an example of that, but I think that there's an opportunity for him to come through. And then another one I like, and these the three I like are really three disgusting names. Kenny Britt.
Okay.
And I think he bounces back against the Packers. If there's I think Gurley can score too, and I think he'll get a lot of work, but I also think that St. Louis will throw a decent amount in this game. And I think Kenny Britt has a much better matchup this week than he did last week.
Sure.
And I would say that if he's just as inconsistent as Tavon Austin, well, look at what he did last week. He was a donut. This week, I think he can bounce back. I like him especially in FanDuel leagues. I think he's worth taking a chance on there. Jamie, you've got three that you like.
Yes, I like where are my notes? Sorry.
Do 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 do. I'm dancing while
I like
wearing a tuxedo.
Terrence Williams.
Okay.
I think you look at what number one receivers have done against this Patriots defense, and I think he comes out and continues it. He got 10 targets last week, which I think is encouraging. I think they're going to be chasing points. Look what they're down to with their receiving core. They're down to Terrence Williams and Cole Beasley. So I think it's a good situation for Terrence Williams to keep this up and to play at a high level.
He's got 10 or more fantasy points in two of his last three games. I think that helps him too. I think he's a solid number three receiver, and you could probably get away with using him as a number two receiver.
I think he's an easy number two receiver.
Okay. So, see, I don't have that problem with wide receivers this week as I do with running backs. I think wide receiver is deep this week. And I think whether you're playing FanDuel or not, I think everybody's got to have a lot of options at wide receiver. And Williams is going to be one of those guys I think people are going to be on the fence about, because I don't know what the odds are of him having a monster game.
I'm not starting Kenny Britt over him. I'm not starting.
I wouldn't either.
Willie Snead over him. I'm not starting.
What about Brandon Cooks? I know you're a big Brandon Cooks guy.
I am not starting Brandon Cooks over him.
Okay.
I would start him over Mark Cooper. I think there's much more upside with him.
What about Alan Hearns?
I would start him over Alan Hearns too.
I would take Hearns over
him. I don't buy into the two. I don't buy into last week's game for Hearns being anything more than a great game. I think you look at Allen Robinson is still the better receiver there, and I think that will start to see some market correction about what Allen Hurns actually is. He's a good start this week, just based on what they're probably going to be dealing with and the matchup that they have. But I don't think he's a weekly starter where I think, as until Dez Bryant comes back, I think Terrence Williams is.
We will get to both of those games in a little bit. Jamie, another one you like.
Mike Evans. Last week was a tough matchup for him against Josh Norman and that defense, and this week is a total 180. Tired defense that they're facing in Jacksonville. I like that the targets are still there for him. Last week only had 7. I think that goes back to double digits. What we saw from him 2 weeks ago, I think he gets closer to again, which is going to be around 17 targets. I'll say it's probably going to be somewhere 12 to 15. I'll say easy double-digit fantasy game for him with a chance to score a touchdown.
I don't want to go too far the other way. I do think Vincent Jackson, at least last week, he looked healthier. He looked like the better wide receiver there.
Sure.
This was not a case of Mike Evans getting shut down by Josh Norman. Josh Norman ended up following Vincent Jackson around.
In the second half. In the first
half,
he shut down Mike Evans in the first half.
It was even way before the first half even ended, he switched. And it wasn't like either one did great when the Panthers had their starting defense on the field. It took them pulling Josh Norman and Peanut Tillman off the field in that last drive where Vincent Jackson had 6 catches, 65 yards, and a touchdown. He finished with, if I recall, 10 for 147 and the touchdown. So he had some decent plays earlier on in the game, but he still, even with that decent performance before that last drive, did better than Mike Evans. I hope you're right, and Mike Evans is still somebody that I would consider a starting receiver this week, but I don't know if I really like what's going on with that Tampa Bay offense just yet. Plus, I think that they can run the ball, and I think that they might end up running the ball more than they're used to.
Yeah, I'm reading a report here. It says Evans was blanketed by Josh Norman most of the game.
I've watched a ton of that game, and I saw Norman on Vincent Jackson.
Well, I'm just telling you what I've read. So.
Okay. Go ahead with the third one.
Brandon Cooks. I think you look at number one receivers against that Eagles defense, and he's still the number one guy based on targets. So I know Willie Snead has played well. I still think you're going to see Drew Brees throw the ball a ton in this game. He's going to be above 40 pass attempts once again, and I think you'll see him go after Brandon Cooks to get him going as well.
This is another one of those where I hope you're right, because I agree that Cooks should be the more explosive receiver, and he really is, but he's just not – there's just some sort of disconnect between Cooks and Brees, because Cooks' best game came with Luke McCown.
Brees has played 1.5 game, 2.5 games so far this season,
right.
So I can't judge
you're
that.
You're not worried about Brees' arm after last week?
No, I think it's not going to impact Cooks. Cooks is not a downfield guy. Cooks is a short area threat that breaks tackles and makes big plays down the field. So it's not like it's going to take him throwing the ball 80 yards down the field for Brandon Cooks to be a playmaker. Brandon Cooks is a short area guy. He's a slot receiver for a reason. So he's going to make plays in the middle of the field and then go. Number one receivers against the Eagles, guys that lead them in targets. Julio Jones, Brandon Cooks, not that guy, but he had 2 touchdowns and 141 yards. Brandon Marshall, Cooks is not that guy, 109 yards and a touchdown. Terrence Williams, in the game where Dez Bryant didn't play, 4 catches, 84 yards and a touchdown. Pierre Garçon, number one receiver, 7 catches, 55 yards, and touchdown. That's the line Brandon Cooks can get. 7, 55, and 1. I think that's very realistic. I think he will continue the trend. Again, number one guy in terms of targets. All those guys are their team's respective leaders in targets. And so far, through the first part of the season, as good as Willie Snead has played, the great Willie Snead, Brandon Cooks still leads them in targets.
Okay. 3 that we don't like, and I'll say Brandon Cooks is one of the guys that I don't like this week because I'm worried about him. We've seen the track record of him playing on natural grass. It's not good. He's much better when he's on the fast track indoors. And I agree with you that the deep ball is not going to be there for New Orleans and that that's not Cooks' game. But Cooks hasn't had many deep ball opportunities this year. He's had a lot of short area opportunities, and he's done nothing with it.
But your sample size is not fair.
No, it's 4 games.
Week 1, Patrick Peterson, right? That guy's pretty good?
He's good.
He covered Brandon Cooks the whole game.
Okay. Then just explain last week then, because we can agree that Drew Brees' arm was fine last week.
Yes.
Where he had targets, he didn't do anything with them.
So guys don't have bad games?
Guys have bad games.
Okay.
He hasn't had a good game yet.
So he's not. Andre Johnson hasn't had good games yet.
Okay, so we should feel good. We didn't feel good about starting Andre Johnson.
I'm telling you that this is still a player. You had him in your top 10,
loved him.
Coming into the season? Okay, so after 4 games where the quarterback missed a game and played a half with a bad shoulder, right? Played 1 game against one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. His best game so far on grass, by the way, with Luke McCown, 7 for 79.
Right, Luke McCown, and that's his best game of the year.
Right.
I don't want to start him for 7 for 79.
You don't have to start him. I'm not telling you to start him. You can bench him on your team. That's perfectly fine.
That's why I'm telling you he's a guy
okay.
I don't like.
I'm telling you, however, that he may have a bad game this week too. But I still think that there's plenty of potential for him to be the guy that we think he can be. This is one of those games. That secondary is not very good for Philadelphia. Drew Brees is going to throw the ball a lot because I anticipate Philadelphia putting up a boatload of points and he's going to be chasing. The guy who leads this team leads the teams in targets every week against Philadelphia. Their number one guy has put up a good game. You want to tell me that Pierre Garçon's a more talented player than Brandon Cooks? That's fine. You want to say the other 3 guys? I would agree with you at this point.
Terrence Williams? See, I think you can put Williams, Cooks, and Garçon kind of in that same mold and
perfect.
Look at the numbers that they've had.
Perfect.
They've had good numbers. You're
talking 50 to 80 yards receiving. It's very realistic for Brandon Cooks, right?
Sure.
Chance to score a touchdown? You're going to say no? I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to take my chances with Brandon Cooks. I understand. Look, you have more of a better basis of an argument because of what we've seen. But when you break it down and you take away a game and a half of Breeze, you take away a game against Patrick Peterson, and then you factor in, really, in my mind, one bad game, because that's all it is one bad game, and that's last week. Other than that, I could care less about the first 3 weeks because of what's transpired and the matchup against Peterson.
In case you guys were wondering, I looked it up. I've got it right in front of us. Brandon Cooks has 31 targets this year. Far and away leads the Saints. 20 catches, 215 yards, no touchdowns, 10.8 receiving average. To compare with Mark Ingram, Ingram has caught 22 of 24 passes, 203 yards, no touchdowns.
But how can you compare with Mark Ingram?
He's got similar stats to a running back. He's got all.
Dave,
he's
not a downfield guy. I don't know why you thought he was a downfield guy.
So he needs a huge amount of volume.
Which he has gotten.
What, volume?
When he's played with a capable quarterback that doesn't have a bad arm.
He had it last week.
Yes, last week was a bad game.
Yes,
it was a bad game.
I think it's a risky choice to go with. Let me ask you this. If you've got James Jones or Brandon Cooks, who are you taking?
Oh, I'm taking James Jones. I have it ranked that way.
Okay, what about Terrence Williams or Brandon Cooks?
I said that, Terrence Williams.
Kamar Aiken.
Brandon Cooks.
You'll take him over. And we're both big fans of Kamar Aiken this week. What about John Brown? Here's another guy who I loved and is totally.
John Brown I like better than Cooks, too.
Okay. And then, of course, Willie Snead is the other one. I'll take Snead.
Go ahead. I'll take
Brandon Cooks. So that's one guy I don't like. Hopefully we don't argue like this over Washington's running backs. Not feeling them. Alfred Morris, Matt Jones.
No, definitely I think it's Chris Thompson's there. Game.
I agree with you. I think Chris Thompson is actually going to be the one who does the best for two reasons. One, you look at how Atlanta's done against pass-catching running backs. It's pathetic, and Chris Thompson can do that. And two, if they're trailing, Chris Thompson's going to play. So that's why I'm not a real big fan of any of these running backs. And then Jason Witten is the third one I don't like. I don't see if he's very touchdown dependent. And if he doesn't, you're looking at 50, 60 total yards. You've got three that you don't like. Quickly, let's get through them.
I always forget the schedule, so sorry.
Just name any three you like. I don't really care if it's AFC or NFC.
Well, no. We have to stick to what Mr.
What's he going
to
do?
Mr. Azers.
What do you think Adam will do to us?
You go ahead. Go ahead. The three you don't like.
I already did the three I don't like. I just did. Brandon Cooks, the Washington running backs, and Jason Witten.
Yes, you did.
Tavon Austin. How about that one?
Yeah,
is that a guy you don't like?
Nope.
Because I don't like him.
Yep. He's going to struggle. Matthew Stafford's going to struggle in that game against Arizona. And I don't know what to do with Golden Tate anymore.
Don't you have a weird feeling?
No.
That you don't have this weird feeling? Because here's another wide receiver that's had a bunch of bad games. And in some of these games, he's had some targets. In others, he hasn't. But Detroit's got to think about things to change and things to do differently. And maybe getting Golden Tate more involved is something they can do. I don't want to start him either.
You're thinking because Peterson's going to be on.
I'm thinking that if Stafford continues to take what the defense gives him, that should, in theory, open up the door for Golden Tate to do some things.
It should, but he hasn't been involved. And, I mean, I guess your point, if they're going to try and change things up and try and involve him, maybe that happens. But do you really feel comfortable starting him at this point?
No, but it's the exact same way I feel about Cooks. Not to go back to that, but it's the same way. And I'll tell you, Golden Tate, 29 targets this year, 18 catches, 190 yards, no touchdowns. He's doing worse than Brandon Cooks this year. And Calvin Johnson just loading up on targets, as everybody knows. He's got 47 and has only caught 27 of them. Detroit's offense is just real bad. Their pass protection is real bad. Those are two guys you definitely don't like. Do you have one more player? One more in an NFC game.
You said Tavon Austin. So
Tavon Austin, Golden Tate, do you have one more?
Stafford.
Oh, yeah, Stafford. Perfect. Don't start those guys. All right. If you're looking to build a website, a portfolio, an online store, well, you know where to go by now. It's Squarespace.com, trusted by millions of people and some of the most respected brands in the world. Why? Because if you build your site on Squarespace.com, it'll look amazing. It'll be easy to create. It'll be safe. It'll be secure. That's what you're looking for when you build a website. So start using Squarespace right now. Starts at $8 a month. You get a free domain if you sign up for a year, and you can start the free trial site today. You don't have to wait. You can build that website. You've had it in your mind. Stop thinking about it and make it happen. You don't even need a credit card to get started at squarespace.com. And when you do decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code FUN, F-U-N, get 10% off your first purchase. Excuse me. Squarespace, build it beautiful, Jamie. Well, we're going to get into the NFC home games. New Orleans at Philadelphia is the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk about the receivers for New Orleans anymore. Clearly, we've talked about where we stand on them.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the New Orleans run game? Mark Ingram is somebody that I think everybody's going to start.
You have to.
My hunch is that they try and lean on that run game. And I think that they try and lean on C.J. Spiller a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I feel real comfortable starting him. He's another one of these players that tends to play better on the fake stuff rather than the natural stuff. Do you look at C.J. Spiller as a flex guy, a bye week guy? More for PPR, of course. But where does he rank for you this week compared to some of the other low-end running backs?
I think he's a number three running back. I think he's an okay flex option. I think, as you said, better in PPR leagues than standard. I really think they're going to be throwing a lot. I do think that Mark Ingram could still get a short area touchdown. I think he'll be involved in the passing game. I think he'll be around 80 total yards. So he's still a must-start guy, whether you call him a number one or a number two. But, I mean, look, Philly's run defense has been great going back to last season, and I think that will continue. So I do think that this game has a chance to be a little bit more of a track meet with the pass catchers. So I would say Ingram gets a little bit of a downgrade. I wouldn't use him in daily leagues.
No, but I think you have to start him if you're in a seasonal league.
Right,
he's
exactly.
been so consistent and so good.
Yep.
Alfred Morris or C.J. Spiller in a standard league, who are you going with?
Spiller.
What about in a PPR league between C.J. Spiller and Charles Sims?
Spiller.
Darren McFadden or C.J. Spiller?
Spiller.
Okay, so you're big on C.J. Spiller. Now, the Philadelphia run game is a completely different story because DeMarco Murray hasn't been good this year. You want to talk about bad players who have disappointed. He's certainly one of them. He isn't somebody we recommended at the beginning of the year, but if you've got him on your team, do you feel a little bit better about using him this week because we've seen signs over the last two Eagles games that their offense could be coming together? Do you look at DeMarco Murray and think that he's got a chance at 15 touches and maybe 4 yards a carry? Let's go crazy. And a couple of catches on top of it.
He had the 2-touchdown game in week one, so take that into consideration. But I think this is going to be his best game to date by far. So he may not finish with more fantasy points than what he did in week one because, you know, what do you have, 13 in that game? 14, mm-hmm. whatever it was, 12 and,
yeah.
you know, I don't know if he got – I know he had less than 10 yards rushing, but with his receiving, no.
It was right around there, sure.
So he may not get to that, but if he does not get 80 total yards, I'd be shocked. So I would say 80 total yards and a touchdown is well within reach. For DeMarco Murray, the Saints' run defense does not impress me. Their outdoor numbers versus indoor numbers are always going to be bad by comparison, especially when they're in their building. So, yeah, I think this is a good game for DeMarco Murray. You know, whether he was going to complain or not, he was still going to get the ball. They still need to get him going. And I think the Eagles may have turned the corner a little bit offensively as a whole last week. So they've been building toward this. The Jets game, this game last week, you know, this is just one of those weeks.
The one run that Murray had, I think that that's a sign of optimism,
yep.
too. I don't like Darren Sproles this week. I know it's a revenge game. He's taken on his former team. I looked this up. He's got a terrible track record of even finding touches when the Eagles play
on grass. I've been saying this for years.
Yeah. But on turf, he was awesome.
Yep.
Playing in New Orleans, he was awesome. That offense was much better for him. I shouldn't say it was much better for him. He had more opportunities in that offense than he seems to have in Philadelphia. So I don't feel real good about trusting Darren Sproles. Same thing about Ryan Matthews. Jordan Matthews, look, I think you keep rolling with him anyway. I know he continues to be a highly targeted part of the Eagles' passing game. I don't think he's a deep threat for them, and I know that the deep threat was what was working last week for Philadelphia, but I would take my chances with Jordan Matthews again this week, despite some bad games recently
yep.
with him. Zach Ertz, I think, is a sleeper. He had a touchdown called back last week. Could be an interesting red zone target.
They've struggled with
for Philadelphia. Yeah, New Orleans has struggled with tight ends. So that's something that you could definitely check into if you're desperate for a tight end. Not saying that you should start him over Antonio Gates or Delanie Walker or Crockett Gilmore if he's active. I would still start those guys. But if you've been scrounging around at tight end, maybe Zach Ertz is somebody you can go to. I think you could start him over Zach Miller, for example.
He's a good FanDuel guy.
Sam Bradford, I think, needs to be discussed.
Started.
Where did you end up ranking him this week?
Top 10.
All right, I've got him top 12, and I'm buying in, and it's a combination of New Orleans and that defense going on the road and not playing well, and Bradford kind of breaking out last week. Is there anything else that you saw from Bradford that makes you feel comfortable to say that he's a top 10 quarterback?
Throwing the ball down the field. I mean, it's going to open things up in the offense. You know, whether it's Miles Austin and Riley Cooper needing to be on the field more, taking more shots to Nelson Agholor, maybe doing some creative things with Matthews or Ertz or Celek or whatever the case may be, Sproles. There's just so many weapons there, and I think that if he starts to use these guys, you're going to see good things happen. I also think if the run game starts to open up, that'll help this offense as well. So, I think it's a pretty good situation for Bradford to take advantage of a defense that I just don't think is that good.
I think everybody's starting Drew Brees pretty much with confidence at this point. Is there any quarterback that you would confidently start ahead of Drew Brees who isn't obvious? Talking about guys like Phillip Rivers, Carson Palmer, Eli Manning, Tyrod Taylor, Marcus Mariota. Where does Brees fit in versus those guys?
He's ahead of Taylor. He's ahead of Mariota. I think I have him either one spot ahead of Bradford. I think he's going to throw the ball a ton. So I was encouraged by last week that he threw the ball 40 times, not on the injury report this week. So that's a good sign. I think Cooks is going to make plays for him. I think Snead's going to make plays for him. I think Spiller will make plays for him. So if I have him, I'm not getting cute. I'm still going to start him.
You can call it the Leonard Hankerson Bowl. You can call it the Kyle Shanahan Bowl. You could call it a million different things. But what it really is an undefeated Atlanta Falcons team hosting the Washington Redskins. And when you think about it, Atlanta's just been really great this year. They've done good things on defense, really outstanding on offense. And Washington, they've had their moments. There's no doubt about it that they've managed to put up some good numbers over the course of the season. We've talked about the Washington running backs, how Chris Thompson is our favorite one, most definitely in PPR. Matt Jones is going to have to score for you in order for him to deliver a good game fantasy-wise. Same thing with Alfred Morris, but it's Jones who seems to be working that goal line. That's what we saw last week. Pierre Garçon, I think, is a safe pick. There's no Jordan Reed for Washington. Derek Carrier is going to take his place. I would not trust him. There is a tight end that we talked about on Thursday's podcast, Garrett Celek. Go back and listen to that if you're looking for a shot-in-the-dark type of tight end. And Kirk Cousins, I don't think anybody feels good starting him. I think everybody feels great starting Matt Ryan, and they should against Washington. Same thing with Julio Jones. Devontae Freeman, I don't think we need to spend much time on him because at this point, if you've got him, you start him. But Washington has been great against the run. Let's just lay out a very quick scenario. Devontae Freeman, you start him, and he stinks this week. Tevin Coleman's coming back. Atlanta could make a change. Do you consider selling high on Devontae Freeman?
You absolutely
if he doesn't
sell high
game?
On Devontae Freeman now. Forget about
you would
bad
do it
game.
Before this game.
Yes. I mean, look, clearly if your running back scenario is bleak, you don't sell him, you know, unless you're getting two guys that, you know, like if
could
you want
two good running backs. For
well,
him?
if you're trying to sell him, let's just say, and you couldn't do it this week if you're in a dire situation, because I would say like Lamar Miller and C.J. Anderson, you know, if you were in that situation. To try and get two guys that maybe still have some upside, that just wouldn't help you this week. But if you're the Devontae Freeman owner that has two good guys and you want to try and buy low on two guys like that, I would consider that move.
I like the move of trading Freeman for Gurley.
If any Todd Gurley owner does that, they're an idiot.
Right.
So, try and do that if you can, but I can't imagine somebody would be doing that now. You should have done that 2 weeks ago after Freeman had the one big game.
Would you trade Freeman for Carlos Hyde and Ameer Abdullah right now?
If I had two good guys, yes.
Let's say you were running back needy. So
no, because you can't. You need those. You need Freeman this week.
Right. What about after this week if he has a bad game?
Then you're not getting those two guys.
Well, but you might. What if they just have okay games? Or what if it's Lamar Miller and Jonathan Stewart? I'm just throwing names together.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it for those two. I would do it for two guys that were probably, you know, like if Jeremy Hill has a bad game this week, then and Freeman comes out of this okay, then yeah, that's the type of guy I would try and acquire. Maybe Marshawn Lynch. Maybe you can get, you know, Lynch and something else for Freeman and something else.
Where do you have Leonard Hankerson in your rankings?
He's in that group of he's in top 36. It's right around 30. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling similar to what we have seen with everybody that typically complains that Roddy White's going to be more targeted this week and more involved. So I think Hankerson still plays well. I think he's worth starting as a third receiver. But the fact that Matt Ryan is still the core, I don't care about new coach because they could care less about Roddy White. It's not the previous regime.
It's Matt Ryan
rewarding his buddy. So because and it's very interesting. DeMarco Murray complains, facing a bad opponent. Jimmy Graham complained, facing a bad opponent.
Yep.
Roddy White's complaining.
He's got a bad opponent.
Facing a bad opponent.
Washington has allowed touchdowns and
to
at
everybody?
Least 50 yards. Receiving to multiple receivers in consecutive games. So two receivers from each team.
That's the point.
At least 50
and so I think we could. I hope it doesn't happen because a lot of people picked up and are investing in Leonard Hankerson. have a Andre Johnson, Dante Moncrief situation where there's a young guy that's getting a lot of action, a lot of attention, and the old guy who's been a disappointment gets an opportunity.
It would be interesting. I would still start Hankerson over Roddy
White. Oh, I would too. Me. I would too.
That's what I do. If you're looking for a desperation PPR sleeper, by the way, look at Jamison Crowder.
He's been great
for
the last
Washington,
week.
Especially with Jordan Reed out.
If Deshaun Jackson.
He's that slot guy. Yeah. Well, maybe even if Deshaun Jackson plays, because he can get that underneath stuff that Jordan Reed picked up. New England is at Dallas. I think everybody's going to feel good about Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski in their
fantasy. I know that guy. He's pretty good.
Week. Is Gronk too expensive to use in FanDuel this week?
Nope. He's in my lineup. Excuse me. In our CBS championship.
I see.
In our podcast, whatever. There's two different promo codes, so I get confused.
There are so many intriguing wide receivers that don't carry a high price tag that you could afford to do that with Gronk and go with guys like Kendall Wright and Kenny Britt. If you're liking those types of receivers, Kendall Wright is an awesome
guy. I can tell you who I have.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got to open it.
But, like, to do the Brady-Gronk stack in daily, I think it's just going to be a little too... It's going to make your lineup bad unless you can find those cheapest pizza wide receivers. So that's kind of what I was saying. I ended up going with Charles Clay so I could spend a little bit more at wide receiver.
I went with Keenan Allen, Kamar Aiken, and Jordan Matthews.
Right. Okay. And so Jordan Matthews' price is actually falling a little bit because he's struggling. 6,800 is real good for him.
Yep.
And Kamar Aiken is a great value. A lot of people are going to be on him. And Keenan Allen at 7,700 compared to other guys who have been producing what Allen does and has been for all but one game this year.
Yep.
I don't think you can beat that. I've got Allen in my lineup as well. How do you look at the Patriots' run game against Dallas, and how confident would you be in starting specifically LeGarrette Blount? Because I feel like Deion Lewis has his role. The Patriots just rewarded him with the contract extension.
Sure.
Clearly they like him.
Mm-hmm.
But LeGarrette Blount, is he going to have a game like he had the last time he played where he's just barreling in for touchdowns? Or is it going to be a situation where if he doesn't get those touchdowns, you're dead in the water using him as a bye week replacement?
I think that you're going to see a situation where LeGarrette Blount scores because they're up big and he's going to get fourth quarter work. So I'm okay with him this week as a number two running back in standard leagues. I'm actually starting him in our podcast league as a flex. So I'm counting on him scoring a touchdown.
I like him in the flex.
40,
for
50
sure.
yards. But this is PPR league, so it's
ooh,
not,
that's even more dangerous.
It is, but I would start, like, my other options are Spiller, and I think he's better.
Yeah, I think Blount's better than Spiller.
And also Anquan Boldin. So I'm starting him over those two guys.
Let me give you some running backs, and I think they're all kind of the same type of running back, so it's really – I'm going to make you split the hairs here. Isaiah Crowell going up against Baltimore or LeGarrette Blount?
Blount.
I would go Crowell. How about Andre Williams?
I don't want any part of Isaiah Crowell.
Listen, it's nasty, but I think LeGarrette Blount has some downside to him. What if Dallas comes to play? You know, that New England defense isn't anything great. I know it sounds crazy because it's the Patriots, but just I'm a little wary of it. Andre Williams against San Francisco or LeGarrette Blount?
Andre Williams.
CJ Anderson, running back extraordinaire, guy we took with our first round pick. Do you like him against Oakland or do you like LeGarrette Blount?
LeGarrette Blount.
I agree with you. I'm worried to start CJ Anderson this week. For the Cowboys, we talked about Terrence Williams. We like him. We don't really like Jason Witten. So let's talk about the running backs and Joseph Randle and Darren McFadden and Kristen Michael. And how are they going to split up the roles for these running backs? And I almost think you have to take a wait and see approach with them. I've got Randle ranked the highest, but I'm not really confident about him. But if I'm not that confident, then that should mean that I should be all over Darren McFadden, but I'm not really that confident in him either. And I don't know how much Kristen Michael's going to play. Do you sit all your Cowboys running backs this week?
If you can. I mean, I'm in a couple leagues that are, you know, deep where I'm forced to start him, and I'm not happy about it. You know, it's going to be
which him?
Huh?
Randle?
Randle, I'm sorry. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with their pass-catching guys because all three are kind of similar. None of them are, you know, really skilled in that regard.
They're skilled, but they're not known for it. I think that's the best way to put it. Like McFadden can catch the ball. Joseph Randle can catch the ball. Kristen Michael can catch the ball. But it's not like, Lance Dunbar, where you knew what you were getting with Lance Dunbar as a passing downs type of running back.
Right. And it could be Michael doing that as well. So
it's going to be up and down. We'll see. I think. It's almost by default. I've got Joseph Randall as the top 24 running back this week.
Oh, I would take LeGarrette Blount over Joseph Randall.
Would you really?
Without hesitation.
I would take Randall. What about Latavius Murray?
I would take LeGarrette Blount over Latavius Murray too.
Well, so you are big time on LeGarrette Blount.
I think he scores. I don't think the other two guys have a chance to find the end zone. And I say that even though Joseph Randall scored four times.
Who's going to get more yardage, Randall or LeGarrette Blount?
Well, if you go back to the last time Blount played, it would be Blount. I mean, as good as Joseph Randall was in that game against the Falcons, I think he had four more rushing yards than him as Blount did against the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. So it's not far off.
I don't think anybody's starting Brandon Whedon, so let's not talk about him. Let's move on to Jacksonville at Tampa Bay. Two amazing defenses coming to play here. Mm-hmm. Jacksonville really doing a great job in Tampa. All right, I'm messing around. But it's not like these offenses are perfect. Mm-hmm. But I almost want to give the benefit of the doubt to both offenses. I was on a Tampa radio station. I floated the idea that this would be a high-scoring game. They laughed at me. But it's like they're not even considering the defenses are in play. Not only is Jacksonville's defense so-so, it looks like Paul Posluszny, their middle linebacker, their best run stopper, not going to play. He's got a high ankle sprain. On the Tampa Bay side, they haven't been able to stop anybody very well. They've played well in one game. They were shredded in week one. They were beat up last week. I don't know if there's anybody that I feel supremely confident in this game, but I do feel good about T.J. Yeldon. And he's been getting a lot of good work for Jacksonville. He's playing a lot, getting a lot of touches. And I think that the combination of volume for Yeldon against the Tampa Bay defense and how they've been playing and how I expect them to keep playing can open up the door for T.J. Yeldon to finish as a top 12 running back this week.
It's definitely possible. The one thing that concerns me about all of Jacksonville's guys is three straight road games is tough. And not that Tampa Bay's defense is going to be a hindrance to them because they don't really have much of a defense. But you just have to wonder if tired legs, especially for, you know, a young rookie like Yeldon, who's had 20 or more carries two of the last 3 weeks, if he just, you know, can't hack it. And so I think you have to buy into him starting. I'm just, you know, maybe playing Debbie Downer, mm-hmm. that it could be a situation where he's not fresh from this recent stretch. It's just it's really not fair, you know, to
have three games on the
road
to
a team. Yeah,
even though it's a short trip for them, it's not
doesn't
fair.
Matter.
I've talked to two former players about this. One of them said it never matters to me. I always loved playing on the road. I liked being the bad guy. I enjoyed playing on the road. And the other guy said, I hate playing on the road and playing three games back-to-back-to-back on the road. It's tough and it wears you down. Mm-hmm. So I think it does have the chance to wear it down, but I think it might be more impactful on the Jaguars' defense
yep.
than it would be their individual skill position players mm-hmm. on offense. And last week was the first time running backs did not do well against Tampa Bay, and it was Carolina. And their running backs haven't done well against anybody.
Yep.
So I'm willing to take the chance with T.J. Yeldon. You like Allen Robinson better than Allen Hurns this week?
Yep.
I do too, but I can't really – I've got him back-to-back in my rankings. I've got Robinson ahead of Hurns, so if I had to pick between the two, I would. But I think that there's going to be opportunities for both of them in this game. I think
could be.
Blake Bortles is going to have just enough protection, and certainly those guys can get open against what Tampa Bay's got going. Tampa Bay's best cornerback right now is Tim Jennings, who's a veteran guy. Bears cut him earlier this offseason. He's playing average. I think that's putting it the best way, and I think Bucs fans would say that I'm being nice about it with mm-hmm. him. And if Mike Jenkins plays, I don't know how he would get on the field. He's been the reason why Tampa Bay's pass defense has been awful, but it's not like they've got amazing corners behind him. Alteron Verner was somebody that we thought could be good again. He hasn't really delivered in that regard, and he's been benched by Tampa Bay.
The one thing, though, about Hurns is last week's game, I think, was...
That was fluky.
Totally
15
fluky.
Targets is not expected, but eight targets?
Eight would be his second best total of the
season.
I
think he can get you 10 fantasy points on eight targets, just with the type of targets he gets.
Well, again, you know, the first two games of the season, he had 7 targets, 5 for 60. To me, that's realistic. Then weeks 2 and weeks 3, 4 targets in each of those games. That's the fear.
And it was made by one play.
Against
one of
the Patriots
games,
game, right. Yes. He had 2 catches for 70 yards and a touchdown.
Well, the big touchdown
right.
made his whole day.
In the fourth quarter. So
but that's the kind of receiver that I think he is. I don't think he's the receiver that we saw last week.
No, but it would be nice to see more of the 5 for 60 with the chance to score as opposed to the 2 for 70 with the score. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder if it's going to be a little bit more ebb and flow with him. So I think he's safer as I feel like I have him ranked too high at 23. So I think he's much more of a third receiver in the Kamar Aiken, Ruben Randall, Leonard Hankerson conversation than he should be in my opinion, the Brandon Cooks conversation.
So now we have already talked about the Tampa Bay wide receivers. I know you like Evans better than Jackson. I'll go the other way. If you had to rank all four receivers in this game, how would you rank them?
Evans, Robinson, and see, this is where I feel like I have it Hearns, Jackson. I'm going to switch that. I'm going to go Evans, Robinson, Jackson, Hearns.
I think Hearns is definitely the biggest boom or bust guy in this game. I just like his chances to go boom.
It feels like it's going to go bust because of what he did a week ago.
I have it ranked this way now of Robinson, Hearns, Jackson, Evans. Maybe I flip-flop Jackson and Hearns too. Doug Martin. Good matchup against Jacksonville, especially with the Jaguars missing Paul Posluszny. I think the combination of weak running back choices this week and the matchup for Martin is what sells me on making him a quality number two fantasy running back for this week. I've actually had him 13th. I've moved him up way up there. And I think we can feel a little bit better about him, even though last week he had the great numbers. Everybody's happy with those numbers. Really, it was made on three plays. He had two runs that totaled 50 yards, and then he had the touchdown. Mm-hmm. There's bits and pieces of that offensive line that look like they're starting to play better together, and I think just losing Posluszny will hurt Jacksonville, and I think they're going to be behind with that. Charles Sims is a bye week guy at best, probably better suited in PPR formats rather than standard mm-hmm. leagues. I don't think there's a tight end that's worth trusting in this game.
Nope.
There definitely isn't a kicker or a defense that I would be really
look at Connor Barth if you're stuck.
Because of Jacksonville. And
they have, I think it's either the second or they're top five in field goal attempts, mm-hmm. Tampa Bay is. Yeah. And Jacksonville is second most allowed fantasy points to opposing kickers.
Interesting.
So,
all right.
So
that's an interesting one.
I think if Connor Barth can get things straightened out, he is a very sneaky FanDuel option this week.
Two more. I don't think you can start him. I don't think he's eligible to play. I tried looking, so never mind on that. But next week he will be. Arizona, Detroit. I want to talk about one last thing on the Cardinals running backs, and that is how game flow could impact them. I just want to lay out all the game flow possibilities. First of all, a nip and tuck close game. Who does that favor between Chris Johnson, Andre Ellington, and David Johnson? If it's a back and forth game, maybe not necessarily high scoring, just fourth quarter, they're tied at 20. I think that favors Chris Johnson more than Andre Ellington.
Anything that they're not chasing points, it's going to favor Chris Johnson.
And if they're chasing points, you think Andre Ellington gets in there?
David Johnson if Ellington's not 100%.
And if it's an Arizona blowout,
then it's Chris Johnson.
They're winning 44-0. The defense is playing there. Then who's in the game? Who's better?
Chris Johnson.
Okay. And then if it's a Lions blowout, say they're tired of being 0-4, they come out and they just shred this defense. Golden Tate has 9 touchdowns. Fourth quarter. I would imagine David Johnson would be in there on mop-up duty and not Chris Johnson and definitely not Andre Ellington.
Probably.
So of those scenarios, which one do you think is the most likely?
The first or second one?
Right. I agree. And that would favor Chris Johnson.
Yep.
That's why he's ranked where he is. Detroit gave Ameer Abdullah 15 touches last week. I thought that
season high.
I thought that was really nice. I think it's a step in the right direction for him. I don't have a big problem starting Ameer Abdullah this week. I'd prefer to do it in a PPR league. But we just saw Todd Gurley run well against Arizona last week, and now they're on the road. So maybe there's an opportunity for Ameer Abdullah to get some numbers.
Yep. It's, you're going to have to kind of close your eyes and hope.
I'll take Chris Johnson ahead of him.
Yeah, and I would start.
Start LeGarrette Blount ahead of him?
In a standard league, yes.
Wow.
And in a standard league, I would start Anthony Dixon and Andre Williams ahead of him.
Because those guys, you think there's the touchdown factor.
I think they'll score.
Okay. I'll take Abdul ahead of all those guys. I'll take my chances with him and hope that the total yards wins out for him. Passing games for both teams, we talked about Golden Tate. I don't know if we really need to say anything about Calvin. I think everybody's just willing to start Calvin and take their lumps with him. Mm-hmm. Arizona's passing game, the more I think about it, the more I get the feeling that John Brown could have some deep ball opportunities. It's the fast track. It's the fact that he's also a guy that we're waiting to see break out and have an even bigger game than he had in week one. He's been really quiet since then. I know everybody's starting Larry Fitzgerald. I don't think anybody's excited to start Michael Floyd. Floyd had a great game against Detroit when they played last year. But do you have that same feeling about John Brown, that he might end up doing a lot better than he's been the past few weeks?
I don't think he's actually been bad the past 2 weeks. I mean, he just doesn't score touchdowns. So I like that the targets have been there for him. I thought he played really well last week, 7 for 75. I'll take that in a game where they were, you know, somewhat struggling offensively. So, yeah, I mean, to me, he's a number two receiver week in, week out. He's just kind of in that same conversation of Allen Robinson, of Brandon Cooks, of guys that it's going to be a matter of time before the big games start to happen for them. So you drafted them to be, look, if you want to go the Allen Hurns route over John Brown because he's got the hot hand, or Leonard Hankerson, that's fine. Kamar Aiken, that's fine. I can understand it. I certainly see the upside in those guys. But I also think that, you know, if John Brown goes 7 for 75 in a touchdown last week, mm-hmm. you're saying probably we may have him ranked top 12 just because of his ceiling. His ceiling is huge.
Yeah.
You know, targets have been there for him. There is a report that, you know, Michael Floyd is going to start to get more work and more targets because of teams focusing attention on the other two. Could easily happen. But until I see it, I'm going to start both Fitzgerald and Brown with a lot of confidence.
I hope that doesn't happen, because then that means a mess among the Arizona wide receivers. And I like it this way, where Larry Fitzgerald is a guy that's going to get a lot of work each week and is pretty much a lock to start for fantasy owners. Carson Palmer's another lock for fantasy owners. I think people can feel good starting him.
Yep.
Please do not start Matthew Stafford. I do not think that it will be a very good game for him.
Just to give you an indication, this would be a great situation if the production goes along with it. Last week against St. Louis, 9 targets for Fitzgerald, 10 targets for Brown, 7 targets for Floyd. Mm-hmm. So you could start to feel better about Michael Floyd if you've been sitting on him for these
few
weeks.
Or if you pick him up off waivers.
Sure.
It's a possibility, yep, too. St. Louis at Green Bay, is there anybody besides Todd Gurley that you feel good about for the Rams? Kenny Britt was somebody that I said,
yep,
I would start him.
Nick Foles.
You would start Nick Foles as a bye week guy? As a bye week guy?
It depends on who's available to me. But there's a pretty good track record, you know, of quarterbacks in Lambeau Field. 6 in a row right now have gotten 20 more fantasy points. And so I think there's merit to chasing points. And his two best games where he's been over 20 fantasy points, one was at home against Seattle, one was on the road against Arizona. Those are the two toughest defenses he's faced so far this season. So I think the problem is like figuring out where it's going to go. And I know you always hate that. You want to know that it's a Julio Jones touchdown, and then maybe Hankerson, maybe Roddy White, maybe somebody else.
We just don't know.
Right. You want to know it's Odell Beckham and maybe Ruben Randall. You know, you don't know where the one is going to.
Mm-hmm. We think it's Kenny Foles.
Well, it could be Austin. It could be Jared Cook. It could be any of these guys.
You're right.
That's the thing. It's a gamble. But it's a gamble, I think, that I would be okay taking if I've been Matthew Stafford and somebody else and Nick Foles there, I would start Nick Foles or Matthew Stafford.
What about Nick Foles or Sam Bradford? I think you'd go,
no,
Bradford,
go Bradford
there. What about Marcus Mariota?
I'd go Mariota. I would go Nick Foles over Russell Wilson this week.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. I don't like him, but I can go to the waiver wire and find Mariota or Jay Cutler.
Well, you don't know that.
What about Alex Smith versus
those guys are close. I think I have them back-to-back in my rankings. I think Smith can also get to 20 points.
I almost feel better trusting Smith than I do Foles.
I agree.
That's part of it.
Obviously, you would take home guy versus Bears as opposed to road guy versus Packers.
What about Flacco versus Foles? Do you feel a little better about Foles there because Flacco
and his
about receivers?
Foles there because I think he will probably double Flacco's pass attempts.
Not that that necessarily means great things, but typically volume does help out. Is there anybody on Green Bay that you're worried about, that you don't want to start, that you don't feel good about?
I'm not ready to start Richard Rodgers yet, but I think if you're stuck at tight end, he's an okay option. Like, I don't particularly love Jimmy Graham and Tyler Eifert this week, mm-hmm, but I'm not ready to start Richard Rodgers over them.
I agree. I feel the same way. But I kind of like where Richard Rodgers is in the offense right now.
Yeah.
Or how the offense kind of has settled with Richard Rodgers.
Right. Davante Adams got hurt for the second time in that Kansas City game. Or, I'm sorry, that's the first time? No, the second time in the Kansas City game. And that's when Rodgers scored his first touchdown of the season. Then they played, who did they play in the week after Kansas City? They had the big blowout victory.
Whatever. But I don't think, did he
it's
have
It's two of the
game?
Last three games where
yeah,
he scored.
Yeah, he scored,
touchdowns.
Right. And that's really what you're
it's
looking
for. It's
been
with Adams
him.
Banged up. I'm sorry, Adams got hurt in the Seattle game. Then he got re-injured himself in the Kansas City game.
Right.
So he scored in the Seattle game, Rodgers did. Mm-hmm. Did not score when they put up 38 points against the Chiefs. And then he scored last week in the low-scoring game against San Francisco. So in you know, it's just too hard to trust him. It's right now it's Cobb and James Jones, and then it's kind of a gamble who's going to be the third guy, because we've seen Aaron Rodgers. He's not afraid to get multiple touchdowns from many guys.
And Eddie Lacy is somebody that I think we can continue to trust. I know he's been single digits in standard scoring each of the last 2 weeks, but I can't help but think that he can break out against St. Louis, who has underwhelmed against the run.
They've allowed a running back to score in each of their last road games.
I mean, who's sitting Eddie Lacy? That's just the way that it is. Jamie, let's do some rapid-fire emails, and then we'll get out of here. Matt in Allen, Texas. Eli or Bradford, 4 points per passing touchdown. My opponent is Jordan Matthews.
Eli.
I agree. This is from John. John is from Topeka, Kansas. Brian Quick. I haven't heard him mentioned much since the preseason. Based on what I've heard, understand that he would be a good fit for Nick Foles' strengths. Any reason to roster Brian Quick right now?
Yeah, if you have an open spot, deeper league.
Could he be a guy this week?
Absolutely.
Against Green Bay. They've been ramping up his work. Could he be?
Yeah, for sure.
Know, I mean, we're looking at Kenny Britt, but maybe it's Brian Quick.
Let me paint a scenario for you. Packers go up 24-7 in the first half.
Okay.
They come out of halftime, and they're like, man, all right, we're not running the ball. We got to abandon the run. We're just going to, you know, Nick Foles, get your arm ready because you're throwing the ball another 30 times in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
We're going three receiver sets. Just got rid of Chris Givens.
Yeah, but Givens wasn't making the field anyway. It all comes down to how Brian Quick feels.
I'm just saying, it's do they line? Or, we're going four receiver sets. We're going for, Lance Kendricks, put your helmet down. You're sitting on the bench.
It's going to be Cook, Austin, Britt, and then would Brian Quick be that fourth guy?
Well, no, I'm thinking that they're going to go tight end, four receivers. And
no running back? They're not going to have Gurley on the field or Benny Cunningham?
Well, no. You'd have five offensive linemen. You'd have four receivers. That's nine. You'd
right.
have tight
it's
end.
Cook, so that's five. You can't have six.
What am I think?
You have five offensive linemen. You have one quarterback. That's six.
Yeah,
five plus
my
one
math
is
off. Sorry.
So you've got five.
I think
Cook would be one of those quote-unquote wide receivers.
Get Cook off the field. It's Austin, Bailey, Quick, and Britt.
Okay. I don't know if I want to start Brian Quick.
No.
But if you're looking, I've got this empty roster spot. What do I do?
Yeah, Brian I just Quick saw him drop in a league where it's funny because I dropped him. I dropped a guy. It's in a league that we're in. I don't want to say it. So you have to go searching if you really want to pick him up. I dropped a guy that I was trying to pick Brian Quick up for last week. And I got outbid for him. Mm-hmm. And then the guy that I was going to drop, I ended up dropping for somebody else. And the guy who picked up Quick dropped the guy I dropped to pick up Quick.
I don't know if I follow that. But Quick is out there.
Quick is out there. So it's a deeper league. I'm going to pick him up.
Good. Sam from Washington State. I think we answered this. Latavius Murray or LeGarrette Blount?
Blount.
I'd go Murray. Josh from a city in Virginia.
What's Murray's upside to you?
I just think that he's going to get volume.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what the downside is with LeGarrette Blount. So they could both be four fantasy points for my team.
Who has a better chance to score a touchdown this week?
I'll give you that. I'll give you that LeGarrette Blount is a better chance, but I don't think it's so much better than Latavius Murray. I don't like Latavius's matchup either,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like there's no upside.
So you're just buying into workload as opposed to...
Yeah, I'm looking more at who's going to get more yards, and if the touchdown comes, it comes. So that's the way it looks. I feel better about Andre Williams scoring a touchdown than Latavius.
Than
LeGarrette Blount.
That's funny that you would say that, because Blount in one game has more touchdowns than Williams on the season.
I know, but look at the mat. I don't even know if matchup matters.
That's the thing. It's not like Dallas is going to stop the Patriots.
It's annoying. It's frustrating. Where the heck am I? Josh from a city in Virginia. Dear Michael, Dwight, Jim, and Pam, I believe it's The Office, should I start Doug Martin or Latavius Murray? Martin is the guy to go with.
Mm-hmm.
From Andrew, he has Allen Robinson and Hearns. Too risky to start both. He could go with Reuben Randall or DeSean Jackson. So if those are your four receivers, you can only start two. Do you take one of the Jaguars out and go with Reuben Randall, who's been hot?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about him on Thursday.
Yep.
Is that what you would do? Would you go Robinson and Randall?
If you're concerned about it, yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
I'd go with the Jaguars guys. I would take them over Randall.
No, I would too, but I'm saying if he's concerned about, you know, both of them, they haven't exactly produced big games together. So
if you have enjoyed this podcast, thank you very much. Don't forget to review us and rate us on iTunes. And if you really like us, and I mean really, really like us, and you want more, and maybe you even want to talk to Jamie and I, you can do so on Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. on the West Coast, Eye on Fantasy Football, live on CBS Sports Radio. Jamie and I will be hosting for 2 hours, dispensing fantasy football advice as best as we know. We would love to hear from you. And then if you miss it, if you don't want to listen, whatever, Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, Fantasy Football Today, live on CBSSports.com. Jamie and I will be back helping you set your lineups then, and we'll have all the inactives. We'll let you know on guys who are on the fence. Jason Lockenfora will join us with injury news.
By the way,
it's a must for you if you care about your fantasy
team. Speaking of Jason, I don't think you mentioned it earlier. He said that Carlos Williams could be out for 2 weeks.
Yeah, we didn't even mention that. Carlos Williams could be out for 2 weeks and LeSean longer than that.
Yep.
So maybe if Anthony Dixon's out there, maybe you go ahead and pick him up. Jamie, good luck in your games this week. Dave, good luck to games for me this week. Thank you very much. And for Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Dave Richard. Thanks for coming out.
Bye.